Hi, church. It's the weekend just before Christmas. Are you excited to get creative in the way we celebrate Christmas this year? We are continuing in the series of Advent. Before we move on, let us read 1 John 3:16 to 18 together. By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So Lord, I pray that may your word go forth from here and not return to you empty. Use me, God, as your vessel to speak your word in truth and in love into the hearts of those that are here today. All this I pray and I ask in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Now, we are currently in the season of Advent and we are going through that as a series in church. Advent, the word Advent comes from a Latin word called Adventus, which means coming, right? Advent simply means the arrival of a notable person or thing. Advent, in our Christian context, is a time observed by Christians as a time of expectant, waiting, and preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus and also the anticipation of His second coming. Now, during this Advent season, in our church here in DUMC, we actually light up different candles. Each week, that signifies what Christ brought into this world when He came. The first week, we lit up the candle of hope, then the candle of peace. Last week, we lit up the joy candle. And finally, this week, the fourth candle is the candle of love. And all these elements of hope, of peace, of joy, of love is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Today, our topic is on love. And I titled the message today as Choose to Love. And the big idea, choose as Jesus did, choose love. Now, before we actually move on into our topic, I would like to take this opportunity and I'll say, you know, it's quite an apt one since we're talking about love, to actually wish my parents a happy anniversary as they celebrate their 33rd wedding anniversary this weekend. So, hi, Mom and Dad, happy anniversary, 33 years, that's really impressive, that is so much love there that has kept them going for 33 years. So now, church, may I ask you, what is love to you? Now, maybe you're watching this currently right now with someone at home. Why don't you turn to that person beside you and ask that person, hey, what is love to you? So what is love? How we define love is important. The word love in the Bible especially has different meanings, because the vocabulary of love among the ancient Greeks has a variety of meanings. Now, if we understand it the wrong way, the way we then interpret scripture will be very different, and the meaning then it would have on us may not be as accurate as it should be. So allow me to run through the different kinds of love really quickly. Yeah. The first one we have, eros. This is where the word erotic comes from. Pretty self-explanatory. Eros love is a sensual or passionate kind of love, commonly used to describe love between two lovers. The second form of love is storge. Now, storge is family love. It's like when a parent loves a child or when a child loves a parent. You know, there is a bond there that cannot be explained when it comes to this kind of love. That's the family love, storge. The third one is filio. Filio means brotherly love. Filio love is an emotionally connected kind of love based on friendship. It is a deep love between friends. Now, the fourth form of love is actually the one that we've read in 1 John 3:16. By this we know love. And the love here is agape love. Agape love is God's love. This love is based on obedience, and it stems from our love for God expressed in action. It is not a love based on good feelings, neither it is an emotionally driven one. So, for example, in Matthew 5:44, it says this, right? But Jesus says this, "But I say to you, love your enemies." The love here is agape love. Jesus is not saying to have good feelings towards your enemy, because that would actually be a very difficult thing to do. But he is saying to love out of obedience towards him, despite of how we may feel. Agape love is a love based on obedience resulted in action, not a feeling good kind of love. And this is the truest form of love, the greatest and the highest form of love. Agape love is unconditional, in the sense where it actually reflects the lover's being and worth rather than the one he is loving. Now, in verse 16, we also read this, right? By this we know love. The love here, it is, yes, the agape love of God. The love that we'll be focusing on today is the love that brought Jesus to lay down his life for you and for me. This is the love that God showed us, that God had towards us when Jesus came 2,000 years ago to bring hope, peace, joy, love, and light into this world, and ultimately paying the price for our sins on the cross so that you and I will no longer need to pay the ultimate price for our sin. This agape love represented in Christ's death is love which expands itself in the interests of others. The verse 16 also says this, by this we know love. The word know here, we really wouldn't have known what love was all about if not for the work of Jesus on the cross. Now then the passage moves on to say, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So now that we know what is love, why do we love? We love because, firstly, Jesus exemplified it. In the second part of verse 16, it says this, he laid down his life for us. 1 John 4:19 says that we love because he first loved us. Love here is the agape love. Jesus exemplified love to us by laying down his life for us. John 3:16, the familiar passage which most of us, if not all of us, know, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world, as in there was a volume of love that God had for the world that he's expressing here. It wasn't just a little bit love, but he so loved the world. And that love, you know, he showed towards us that he gave his life. He gave his only son. The agape love of God for the world brought into action in the form of Jesus coming to us as our Messiah and our Savior. And this love that Jesus exemplified to us was a love based on a choice. He has made to obey the Father. John 10:17 to 18 says this, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." Now, hear this in verse 18. "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Of my own accord. Jesus here actually made a choice. It was a choice to obey the Father. As verse 18 ends in, "This charge I have received from my Father." A choice to love us by giving up himself for us. Jesus laid down his life. He emptied himself. He placed the needs of the world above his. And in that, this is the example of the highest form of love exemplified through Christ himself. So why do we love? We love because Jesus exemplified it. Now, secondly, we love because Jesus exhorted us to do the same. The third part of verse 16 says this, "And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Here in 1 John, it's telling us to basically follow after the example of Christ. Since we are sent with the same mandate Jesus was sent, and you can read that in John 20:21, where it says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus has commanded us to love one another as well. Also in John 15, 12 to 20, to 14 says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love, agape, has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." You know, this laying down of lives isn't the literal dying for your friends. So what kind of laying down of one's life is this passage actually talking about? We can find that answer in verse 17, right? Of 1 John 15. "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in it, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" It's simply saying this: when you see a need, you meet it. So to show love by looking out not only for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. In the light of Jesus' self-giving, unconditional love for us, we should not close our hearts then to towards others who are in need. In fact, the passage here is actually telling us that if we choose to close our hearts to those in need and still rightly claim to have love of God in us, that cannot be true. So in other words, if we say that God's love is in us, we show it by loving others as well. Because after all, we are made to love and for love. Now, the God that made you and I, the one in whom we have the same mandate, made us in his image. And God made us for relationship, not only with him, but also with one another. And in relationship, we love. Now, agape love is love in action. It has to be demonstrated just as what Jesus did. So, why do we love? We love because firstly, Jesus exemplified it. And we love because secondly, Jesus exhorted us to do the same. Now that we understand what the highest form of love is, exemplified through our Lord Jesus Christ, and he has also exhorted us to do the same, how can we then love? How can we love? Verse 18 says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." You know, it's like the passage is saying, hey, less talk, more action. So how do we love? We love through our actions, and we do so in truth. So how can we do that? May I suggest by doing two things. The first one is to simply practice. We are reminded here that we must not just talk about love, but take it a step further to practice actioning it out. And in this context of the verse that we've just read, it means actually literally using our own resources to relieve the needs of others. Whilst telling someone you love them does have an effect on a person, but putting that love into action actually does go a long way. In James 2, 15 to 16, it says this, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that?" So when we see a brother or a sister in need, we go out of our way to love them by simply meeting their needs. If it's clothes that they need, we clothe them. If it's food, we feed them. Jesus came to show us love and how we, in being reconciled back to the Father through Jesus, can also get in on the action of loving God and each other. Jesus has made a love possible for you and I. So let us put that into our deeds. Start to practice love in action. And as the saying goes, practice makes perfect. The more we practice loving in action, the easier then it will become, as, you know, eventually it will be second nature to us. Now, the second thing that we can do in loving others is to actually pause. First one was practice. Second one, pause. What do I mean by pause? You know, sometimes the loving thing to do is to simply put a pause on certain things that we may be doing or even saying in order for us to really show love. You know, to stop ourselves in our tracks before proceeding any further can at times be the most loving thing we can do for someone else. For example, in love, we pause and think before we speak. That's also actually love in action, because you are actually actively holding back. In love, we be gracious to each other, be patient with one another. We learn to hold our tongue so that we do not say certain things that we may end up regretting, that we cannot take it back. And in some situations that we may be in, by loving others through deed or love in action, we need to actively and consciously take a step back and put a pause on our speech for the sake of the other person. You know, recently I had to go through something like that as well. I unfortunately had a minor fallout with one of the girls that I've been journeying with for some time now. It's also because of, you know, some miscommunication coupled with poor timing that actually resulted into us not talking to each other. It happened quite suddenly for me, and I couldn't understand why she was avoiding me. She didn't tell me she was upset with me, nor did she tell me how I offended her. It was just, all of a sudden, pin drop silence on her end. Avoidance. I knew something was up, and I started off being actually a little bit annoyed, because I thought that the relationship that we had built was solid enough for her to confront the elephant in the room with me. But then, slowly, that annoyance that I had turned into heartache when it continued to drag on with actually no sound on her end. It really broke my heart to know that I have offended her without knowing what exactly went wrong. I couldn't take it, and I really wanted to, you know, just settle it. I really wanted to talk to her about it so that we can resolve it quickly. I was so ready to apologize, even if I didn't fully understand what I did, so things could actually, you know, go back to normal. And I told myself this, that I wanted to do so because I love her, and the relationship we had meant too much for me to just let it go. But that in itself was actually a bit selfish on my part, because knowing she's upset with me didn't make me feel so good. And so in order for me to feel good, I wanted to resolve it. But God, He knew what was best. And as I brought it before Him, He taught me actually to love from afar. He taught me to love by simply being on pause. He knew that she needed the time to detach so she could probably process what happened and will eventually talk to me when the time was right. I didn't know that, but there was a very strong nudging from the Holy Spirit to just lay aside my desire to want to be reconciled quickly so that I can feel good again, but instead to love her by thinking in her place. I knew then that the way to love her was to actually give her the space, to hold back, to pause, and let God do His work in her life. And hopefully, in God's timing, she would return back. Now, frankly speaking, I didn't know if the relationship was already a lost cause or not, because as painful as it was, I resigned to show love to her by simply taking a pause and letting God work. And true enough, God knows best. She eventually returned, and we managed to talk it over, and now our relationship is in a much better place than before. So, what about you? What is, or what has been, the Holy Spirit speaking to you in whatever the situation that you are currently in? For some of us, is to practice loving to practice, you know, but it's for some of us, it's simply to pause. And pause, right, doesn't mean to stop completely. It can be to resume later on in the right time. Whatever it is, how can we still show God's love during this Christmas season? You know, for many of us this year, we may feel that we have nothing more to give, especially since it feels like 2020 and the pandemic in particular has taken so much from us already. The economic and public health uncertainty prompts us actually to, you know, to keep to ourselves, to save, don't give so much, don't mingle so much, don't spend too much time with people outside your bubble, to, you know, protect yourselves, to keep to yourselves. And for some of us, it goes as far as us not really wanting to celebrate Christmas this year. You know, a couple of weeks back, I was actually talking to a friend on the topic of 2020 and this holiday season. And she actually said that 2020 has been so depressing. And probably a lot of us can actually agree with her. You know, what with the public health at stake and economy taking a dip, she actually remarked that for her, there was nothing to celebrate, nothing to be thankful for this year. She then went on to say that she wished that she could just cancel 2020 and cancel Christmas this year, and she just wanted to start afresh in 2021. Well, for me, that was actually pretty sad to hear, because truth is, we can't just cancel 2020 like it never happened, because it did. It can't just be erased like that. And can I remind us this, that we certainly cannot cancel Christmas per se, because Christmas happened. Well, we can choose not to celebrate. We can choose not to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that is your choice, but that doesn't change the fact that He came, the fact that He brought meaning to Christmas. The Christmas message remains the same regardless of the situation that we are in. Now, even in the midst of the pandemic and how we are now forced to celebrate Christmas in a very peculiar way or in a very different way, you know, than what we were used to, Jesus was still born and His birth still brought salvation to our world. And that does not change. It was never about a perfect season or a perfect situation, but was all about a perfect baby boy that came to save and to redeem us all. And this baby Jesus came so that we can have life and life to the fullest, so that we can have life for eternity, a life beyond this life that we are currently living in, a life that is free from suffering, free from COVID, free from any economic hardship. Jesus Himself is reason enough for us to celebrate. Jesus Himself is reason enough for us to spread the agape love of God during this pandemic Christmas. The Christmas message is this, that God gave so that we might have even more to give. Now, some of you may be familiar with the concept of an emotional bank that says that if this bank is in deficit, then there is actually no more love to give. And generally, in human relations, this is true. But with God, it is very different. If God pours His love into us, that concept no longer applies. In other words, if we receive love from God, we overcome any, if not all, deficits in our emotional bank, because His love is all we need. And therefore, we need to learn to receive this love from God if we are about, you know, if we are going to give love without limit. Even as the world tells us to keep to ourselves, to focus on us and on guarding and protecting ourselves, especially now during this pandemic. But I believe that whilst we remain conscientious and do our part as a responsible citizen of this nation, we can still be a blessing during this time. We can still spread the love of God during this season. Many are wounded, many are in need, and all the more, this season is the time to choose as Jesus did, to choose to love, to choose to spread that love, and to choose others above ourselves. Because ultimately, what we choose is important. What we choose, we focus on. What we focus on is where we look. Where we look, we will go. And where we go, we behold. And what we behold, we become. What do you want to become? So think about how you can choose to love and then to act upon it. The big idea again, choose as Jesus did. Choose love. Now, if you are here listening today and this is your first time at a church service, or you have not invited Jesus into your life, I want to invite you to meet this God who showed us the greatest and the highest form of love. A God who made love possible for us. A God who gave us a reason to celebrate Christmas. Now, if you would like to talk to us to find out more about this Jesus, what he did, and what this love is really all about, there is a button on the chat that says Request Prayer. Please click on that button and someone will be able to come alongside you and to help you in this journey. But if you're ready to make a decision today to come to Jesus Christ, the one that showed us what love is and how we can love, you can do it in a very simple manner by saying this simple prayer. And this simple prayer goes, I'm sorry, Lord Jesus Christ, that I have lived my life in a sinful way, rebelling against you. I recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I thank you for loving me so much that you would come into this world to take my place on that cross so that I can have life in eternity. Please come into my life and take your rightful place in my heart as King and Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. That's the simple prayer you can say. Sorry, thank you, and please. If you have prayed that prayer, can I ask you to click on the raise hands button on the chat as well, and also scan the QR code that's shown on the screen right now, because we would love to connect with you and to talk to you further on this decision that you have just made. God's love is here, and His love is for you to receive it. And for some of you here, maybe you find it difficult, you know, to love during this season because perhaps much has been taken from you, so you would rather keep to yourselves and not think of or think for others during this season. Or some of you here, there is just a lot of hurt in your life and you feel like you cannot give much, if not at all, during this season. Can I please say that I hear you and that you are not alone? Allow us to pray with you as well. So do click on that request prayer button and someone will be able to attend to you via a private chat window and allow us to journey with you. Because remember, you do not need to walk this journey alone. So as the Lord leads some of you to click on the request prayer button, the rest of us, come, let us pray as we end our time together. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your love over our lives. We thank you that because you first loved us, we too now can show and experience love with one another. As we come down to Christmas, may we never lose sight of the reason why we celebrate, although the celebration this year will look a bit different. Thank you, Lord, that your life, Jesus, has given us life and life abundantly. And now, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and forevermore. Amen. Have a good weekend ahead of you. We'll see you at our Christmas celebration at 10 a.m. this Friday. God bless you.